1980s, the black South African working class led the world. They were an inspiration to tens of millions all around the world, including here in the United States. But what happened to those revolutionary traditions? Here, in the final and most important section of our interview with Trevor Nwane, Trevor discusses exactly those questions. Among other things, he explained how the leadership of that time was decapitated, and what the results are for today, and what that means for us who wish to, who see the necessity for carrying on those struggles. Let's start by reminding ourselves of what those traditions were.
I feel that this is their struggle. They must take the lead. They mustn't leave the youth and the other progressive organizations fighting the battles of liberation alone. The workers feel that they must be involved in that, and they are the only section of the society that is powerful to lead the struggle, the liberation struggle. And in South Africa, we don't want to change the face of the government to put the black capitalists forward. But what we want is to change the system, to change the society, to be a changed society, where there will be no exploitation of men by men. That it will be a socialist system, a proper socialist system, socialist society. Yes. Where workers have control of their lives.
I have a message for these Boers outside here. Hey, you know ma, you come on track and I'm like, no, no, no. Akakuba mazikelele uPW Bota. Akakuba itia gas zi reforms na.
The anti-apartheid movement, at the point of taking power or of defeating apartheid, it was decapitated because the whole leadership was sucked in into bourgeois parliamentary, bourgeois corporatist structures. Can you see? Yeah. So this is what happened. So I remember the first thing which would happen after, you know, local councillors, political representatives were elected in Soweto, they would move to town. Can you see? Yeah. So the guy is elected to represent this place, but they immediately move to town, you know, right. You know, for bourgeois. And the competition, I was in the ANC, the competition, the political competition was directly linked to self-enrichment. Can you see? Yeah. So that whole leadership, that whole left, including the Southern Communist Party, forget about their inherent weaknesses. Even if they were good people, but they lost their way. Yeah. They lost their way. And then the trade union movement, like you are saying, you know, because of the strength of that movement in the 80s, because of what it achieved, can you see? Because it was never defeated, you know. There's never been a clear-cut battle between the bourgeoisie or a bourgeois state and the working class in South Africa, you know. So it continued. But the politics of class collaboration on top, the leaders were making money. They created Mandela and them, a direct escalator from top union official to parliament. Can you see? That's Mandela. And then the bosses, they created an escalator from top union official to CEO of a company. Can you see? That's what happened. Ramaphosa is a billionaire. He was the leader of the National Union of Mine Workers. Can you see? Yeah. So that's what happened. Now,
You know, if I could just interrupt 1 second, what you're talking about that, you know, I was in, do you, were you familiar with the Committee for Workers International?
Yeah.
They had a group.
Wise men and them.
Yeah, Marxist workers tendency of the ANC. And I remember going to conferences. This would have been in the late 1980s. I remember two young women from that group who were very strong, powerful young women who I found out later became millionaires.
Oh, wow.
So that's an example of what you're talking about.
And from the Marxist workers' tendency.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So just think of people from the Soviet Communist Party. You know, they were like sitting ducks. They're like sitting ducks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
go ahead with what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. So remember we had a movement here, I think from the year 2000 to 2005. We had the Soweto Electricity Crisis Committee, we had the Anti-Privatization Forum. Basically, so in Soweto, you know, we're organizing around energy, access to energy, access to water for the working class. That movement, at the forefront of that movement, were grannies, grandmothers, you know what I mean? Yeah. The reason, of course, they are in charge of the council houses, can you see? Yeah. But it's because the unions turned their backs on that movement. It got no support whatsoever. Can you see? Yeah. Because COSATU was with the ANC and the Communist Party, whatever, whatever. So even those independent grassroots movements found themselves either sidelined, ignored, or repressed, certainly denigrated. Can you see? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know, small guys like me, suddenly you are being talked about in very high circles of government. Do you know what I mean? Like, who is this guy, Trevor? You know, no, these people are misleading our people. So there was a real, real concerted effort by the ANC and the Communist Party in collaboration with COSATU leadership, can you see? And the civic movement, their organization was called SANCO, South African National Civic Organization, to actually squash any left independent effort or initiative. Can you see? Now, today, the results of that are clear. Can you see? Yeah. And it's worse now because there's all this confusion about the global south and the global north, about China and Russia, you know, nostalgia about Russia, admiration for Putin amongst some comrades. Remember what happened with our workers' party with NUMSA, the Socialist Revolutionary Workers' Party. Yeah, we supported it. It was funded probably by the Chinese, no, but certainly through that guy, the billionaire. Who's that guy?
Neville Singham, yeah.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yeah, who was doing a mess in the USA too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it destroyed the thing, man, just through pure money. Can you see? Yeah, yeah. So now the left, so there are some, let's say, green shoots among the far left, but the ones I've seen, the most prominent, they are sectarian. So they say things like, I will never work with Keep Left, will never work with socialist group, I'm socialist group. Yeah, because they represent an old politics. So these are the people who are trying to find a new politics. So they want what they call democratic civic politics. Can you see? Yeah. So, look, I understand. It's they're trying to change tactics, strategy. It's all desperate. Even when we're doing those movements like the Landless People's Movement, Anti-Privatization Forum, Soweto Risk Crisis Committee, the theorization was these are the new social movements. Can you see? Yeah. But that also neglected to see the continuities, with the past, And remember also, if you don't see the continuities, like we're still fighting for the same thing, basically, then there's also no continuity with the methods, you see. So you don't learn from the past. You're trying to draw a line, between what happened before. Yeah, so this is the issue. Yeah. So the left, well, I think the last blow was the so-called NUMSA moment, when the Metal Workers Union split from the ANC, from the Alliance, then they formed the United Front, and then they formed the Socialist Workers Revolutionary Party. But it turned out that the leadership, besides being confused by the millions, was still essentially Stalinist, or they hadn't shaken off their Stalinist habits, which is not trusting the working class, socialism from above, etc., etc. Yeah. Classical operation. Classical operation.
It strikes me, Trevor, two things that I would draw from what you're saying is what you talk about absence of continuity. But then, as you just said, in a way, there is a continuity, but people aren't really conscious of it. And that's the continuity of the Stalinist traditions. And you see the same thing here, I think, in the left is, oh, all that stuff from the left, from the history of the whatever, of 50 years ago, we don't need to think about that. And in actuality, what they're doing is they're adopting the traditions of Stalinism. But since there's not a serious look at that history, nobody really knows it except for a few people at the top.
One day we had, because we whatever negative assessment I have, people try. So we had this meeting. For example, NUMSA abandoned the United Front, but we still continue with our little tiny United Front, also exactly, for that continuity, it embodies. Hey, this is what you started. You forgot about it. So we had. So there's a movement here around climate change. So so sometimes the left finds space there and do things, and
Sorry,
then
a movement around what did you say? Diamond King?
Oh, climate
climate
justice.
change. Climate change. Okay,
Yeah,
yeah.
climate justice. Yeah. So but remember those movements. They tend to be funded through NGOs so they can continue. Yeah. So some of the left end up there. Certainly, as socialists, we support, those initiatives. We support, yeah. So as United Front, so we had this successful, I think, two or three workshops in a case. So this guy had come to get an honorary degree. So we brought him to Soweto. I mean, he's an academic and he wrote books about environmental racism in the US. So it was all inspiring, And then, so in all the discussions, but not the one where he was there, I think the following workshop, one youth stood up and said, He didn't even say comrades. He said elders. You know what the problem is? We, as the youth, we don't know what is socialism. Yeah. Please help us. Do not like, it was, you know, like everyone. Yeah. So me, I started a little group, you know, with some youth. I still continue with them 2, 3 years later. But that's how it started. Like, they just said, hey, we don't know about socialism. So there's been, when the movement was decapitated, it was decapitated. And then also remember, socially, the striving to be middle class, to make it, yeah. To be middle class is not necessarily negative, because it's people trying to improve their economic situation. And that's the model, you know. You know, I've got a car or whatever, or I'm educated. So, but that striving for so upward social mobility was linked to a distancing from that tradition of struggle. I think that is the ANC's biggest crime, you know what I mean? To trample on the socialist vision. That's why they can go and kiss Trump's ass, you know, because there's no other, let's say, economic developmental strategy. Yeah, there's always protest, you know. People are protesting, either there's no electricity, there's no water. Protest is protest, Comrade John, you know. It needs a political solution, if you know what I mean. Yeah. So you cannot divorce that protest from what are the political ideas which drive the protest. What are the solutions? Yeah. So I think that's where we're being stuck now. Maybe in some unions, there's this, what we call movementism. Or it is just a movement. We don't want political parties, whatever. Or workers' party, no. We just want, you know, we must fight on the ground. You know, which it's got something. But no amount of militancy is going to answer by itself the political question. No.
Right.
Yeah, it can't. You know what I mean? Yeah. We had this 2020 or 2023 or 22, what I call July days. There's this rioting, massive, you know, looting of shops and factories. 300 people died, you know what I mean? Billions of rands of stolen goods. You know, it all came to naught because there was no political project. Or there was no one was able to turn it into something.
What you talked about continuity and how it's been broken, and doing our best to revive the best traditions of the working class, whether that be in the United States or South Africa, whether it be in 1985 and 86 in South Africa or the 1930s in the United States. To revive those traditions, or we can't revive them, but we can point to them and help people see, because they're not dead completely, right? They're still, they might be buried underground, but they're still there, and they find their way to the surface, for instance, in some of the protests you're talking about. So there's that on the one hand, and also making those international connections. There's those two things. One is trying to, you know, develop that continuity, and, well, they're not separate. Develop that continuity and making those international connections, which is part of that continuity.
Yeah, no, I agree fully. So, for example, even this thing of this Trump thing with Ramaphosa, I mean, is of interest to people in everywhere in the world, you know. So we should be talking to each other, you know. What are the workers in the US? What are the comrades saying in the US? And we share perspectives. And then also, you know, the right-wing populists, they will continue unless they find an obstacle. And then also some kind of exchange, you know. These days we've got Zoom. It's a vacuum, John, you know. Yeah, it's just terrible.
Yeah.
And also, like I say, with all this propaganda, you know, talk and so there's a voice which is missing. And you know, in politics, you know, there can be no vacuum. So someone plugs it. But be quite open, you know, on this. I think we used to do that in a case with SCC. You know, the working class needs a workers' party. You know, because we need an alternative. And my fear is that, you know, if MK, EFF, and them, I don't think that they will take power as themselves. They'll link up with some other party. You know what I mean? Yeah, which will so-called force them to shift to the right or to the center. You know what I mean? Yeah. But they will bring their constituents. And then our struggle will be postponed. Liberation will be postponed for another 10, 20 years, John. Trumpism, their strategy is divide and rule. So South Africa will go, kiss his ass. The next day is Lesotho. The next day is UK. But as workers on the ground, we can unite and speak with one voice and say no. I think that's my message. Yeah. Lastly, socialism is not only possible, it has to happen, you know. So I'm completely against this idea that there's no alternative to capitalism, or that if you disrupt economies in favor of building an alternative, it doesn't make sense. So, but it must not be socialism from above. We've seen the history. It must be from below.